Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, July 23rd, 2018. With me today, John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. And Andrew Orr, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad both of you are here. Thanks to both of you. Also, thanks to LinkedIn Jobs and Jamf Now for being our sponsors today. I think it's pretty cool that our show has so much love that we have two sponsors that want to be on at the same time. So that's pretty cool. We should just hop right into topics. So let's start with this report that the new version of HomePod OS, so it'll be HomePod OS 12, that's going to come out presumably this fall when iOS 12 and Mac OS Mojave, watchOS 5, when all of those come out. It has features in a private beta that Apple is testing just internally that should make a lot of people happy. So the features that we have heard about, these are people that are talking about what the features are, but probably shouldn't be because this is supposed to be a private beta. You'll now be able to handle iPhone calls the way you expect. So instead of having to answer a call on your iPhone or place a call on your iPhone and then transfer it to the HomePod, use it as a speakerphone, you'll actually be able to place the call or receive a call directly from the HomePod. Now, of course, your iPhone still has to be in range, so it can link to that and do the actual call through there. But you'll be able to initiate and answer calls from your HomePod. So that's kind of cool. You'll also be able to say, hey, S lady, where's my iPhone or iPad or Mac or, you know, whatever device, and it will ping the device for you. So that's kind of cool. And there are some other features, but the big thing that I hear people are really flipping out over, it will support multiple timers.
Yay.
Yeah, something I've been doing with my Amazon Echo since the first day I had it.
I hope they also bring this to iOS. I mean, there's a workaround you can do where you just set reminders, but I like opening the clock app and actually seeing it count down.
Yeah, and being able to use Siri and say something like I already can do with my Amazon Echo. Hey, S lady, set a 12-minute timer for the cookies. And then turn around and say, hey, S lady, set a 20-minute timer for the vegetables. And then...
Named timers.
Yeah, named timers.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm doing on my Echo right now. So, like, if I'm working on making a meal and I need different timers for each thing, I say, hey, A lady, set a 10-minute timer for the potatoes, whatever it is. And I'll just stack up my timers. And when one timer is done, I'll get the alert and it will tell me which timer just ended. So it's, you know, it's like having this personal assistant that's watching over what you're doing. And when it's time for one of the things in a series to be done, you don't have to guess what alarm just went off. It tells you. It's great. And to
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it seems like something that should have been in HomePod since the beginning. Or if they were having whatever kind of issue with this, they should have added it within the first few weeks of HomePod launch. Like give us an update that rolled out the extra things that were blatantly missing from the initial HomePod launch. But instead, it's coming with HomePod OS 12.
Makes me wonder about the development of the software of the HomePod, what the product manager's vision and plan was, what technical difficulties there were, if any, the coherency of the team. It just makes me wonder why it took so long to bring these features out. I mean, it's, I don't think it was, it doesn't feel like a planned process. And it feels like a kind of a fix up, and a fix up that isn't going to do anything for sales specifically, but it's just, it's going to make current customers happier, but it doesn't have enough punch to put the HomePod on people's radars that, where it wasn't on the radar before. It's just sort of like, it feels like band-aiding, like, well, we couldn't do this before, but now we can get to it. For some reason, we couldn't get to it before. Heaven knows why. It seems like a real mystery.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by this because it just feels like, even with as cool and as powerful as the HomePod is, that it was released as a hobble device, and that isn't really changing. I mean, it is to a degree, but I still feel, even if it's only a perception, I feel like when iOS 12 comes out, that the things that I can do with my Echo will still exceed the things that I can do with my HomePod. But boy, does that HomePod sound great when I'm playing music.
It almost feels like pressure from above. It almost feels like there was, I'm guessing, but it feels like there was a vision from above that this is what the HomePod is supposed to do, and this is how we think it should fit in with the home, and this is the scope of what it should be doing. And then that was in conflict with the product manager and his team's ability to implement code. It almost feels like the product manager has to beg for permission to include certain things. Just a guess.
Like basic features?
Yeah. Well, so maybe,
yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe some of these basic features were considered not in sync with the focus of the HomePod as an audio device.
Nailed it right there.
Over time, the managers felt like, well, we kind of got behind the Echo. Maybe we should start thinking about it as a great speaker and a home speaker and a great Siri device. And okay, it's all right. Now you can start including these features now because we've changed our mind about the vision.
If that's the case, and I really like this narrative you've created, John, so we're going to roll with it. I'm glad that's what's happening because HomePod is an awesome piece of hardware, and it sounds so wonderful. And the microphones are much better at picking up my voice than my Echo or my Google Home. And my preference would be always talk to just the HomePod. Except that to get a lot of stuff done that I actually want to accomplish with a voice assistant, I can't. I have to go back to my Echo. And then occasionally to the Google Home, which, by the way, I still love that my Google Home is on a Wemo switch. So it just stays off, except when I want to use it. And then I can tell the Echo or the HomePod to turn it on. And then after I'm done using it, I can tell any of the devices, including the Google Home, to turn it off. And it's great.
That's cool.
When I go, hey, or okay, G-Lady, turn off Google Home, and the little lights flash, and you start to hear it say okay, and then it's just off. It warms my heart. Anyhow, the real point is that I'm really looking forward to whatever new features we're getting in HomePod because I want it to be more versatile. I want it to be more powerful and usable. And at the same time, I'm tempering that with, it just feels weird that we didn't already have these features.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, Apple hasn't confirmed these features because it's part of a private beta that no one's supposed to know about. So it'll be interesting to see if those features are still here when HomePod OS 12 is released this fall. And, because it's beta stuff. So they could be features that they're testing and then they hold back and we don't get them till later. I'm hoping that's not the case. Give me my multiple alarms or timers. Anyhow, hey, we have sponsors today. And our first sponsor is LinkedIn. So here's the cool thing. LinkedIn Jobs is their repository for job openings. And it totally makes sense that LinkedIn would be doing this, because LinkedIn is the place where we already have 70% of the workforce in the United States with accounts. So that means the vast majority of people in the United States, they have a LinkedIn account. They can go and look for jobs anytime they want, you know, if that's their thing. And because these people tend to be more qualified for a position compared to people that are just going through like some generic job posting board, there's a higher likelihood as an employer you're going to find the right employee. And that's great, because, you know, bringing on an employee, getting them trained, and this all costs a lot of money. So why not do something that makes it easier for you to have a higher likelihood of finding the right person the first time? And that's what LinkedIn Jobs does. So here's what you can do. Hurry over to linkedin.com/TDO to get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/TDO to get $50 off your first job post. Linkedin.com/TDO. Terms and conditions do apply. And go find that right employee. Thank you, LinkedIn, for being our sponsor. All right. So our other sponsor today is Jamf Now. And what's great about them is that they've made it easy and affordable for you to manage multiple iOS and macOS devices, which if you have a lot that you're just keeping track of yourself, that makes things a lot easier. But let's say you have a business where you have all these devices that your employees are using. Well, instead of having to hire a staff that's doing all this device management or having to go through something with a steep learning curve, you can use Jamf Now to handle all of that. So you can keep track of operating system versions. You can set requirements for how secure passwords need to be. You can keep track of the apps that are installed. You can even go in and remotely brick a device, like if it's lost or stolen. So you have a lot of control over all these devices that you should have control over anyhow, and it's super easy. I've been using it for a while because it makes it so much easier for me to keep track of everything that I have, but also so that I can make sure that my parents' devices are up to date and that there aren't any problems with settings on their iPhones, iPads, and Mac. So what you guys can do is go and get your account, because it's free. Sign up for a Jamf Now account. It's free, always free, for life. You get the first three devices in your account free for life, and then anything after that, you pay $2 a month per device. So it's easy, it's affordable, and it's really handy. And that three devices, let's say later on you replace your iPhone with a new model, it's okay. Take the old iPhone out of your Jamf Now account, put the new one in, still three free devices. I love that they're helping people out like that. And then only $2 per month per device after that. So head over to their website, jamf.com, that's jamf.com/TDO. Sign up for your free account, jamf.com/TDO. And thank you to Jamf Now for being our sponsor today. Okay, so we need to talk a little bit more about the Core i9 processor in the top of the line Touch Bar MacBook Pro, because, you know, people have been freaking out about the whole throttling thing, as John is calling it, Freezergate, because one of the first videos we saw showing throttling showed that it didn't happen if they put the computer in the freezer while they were rendering video, which, by the way, is kind of funny. But there's yes, there's more to this. So fill me in, John.
Well, there's a lot going on here, I knew how it was going to go. First, there's a single video, then there is the exploitation and the clickbait. That's phase two, and then phase three is that everybody settles down and does the science, and we start looking at it from multiple angles. And one of my readers, Dr. Brooks, made a valuable contribution to it. That's something I should have included in the article. And he talked about peer review as a process and scientific and technical evaluation. Mm-hmm. And you talked about different kinds of testing, which is going on right now. Mm-hmm. But we tend to think of the internet as a one-man show because on TV, scientists are depicted as loners, brilliant individuals for the sake of drama, and they're the single point hero. But science takes place with multiple people doing multiple tests in different ways and multiple individuals involved in evaluating each other's work. Mm-hmm. And before anybody even had a chance to replicate the individual test, let alone do other kinds of tests, the internet kind of got out of whack. And people were writing articles like, your new MacBook Pro isn't going to work well unless you put it in the freezer. And I'm not going to say who wrote that because they don't deserve a link. So is exactly as I thought would happen. As time has gone on, lots of different people did lots of different kinds of testing. One, our lab, Primate Labs, pointed out that Premiere uses the GPU and the CPU, mm-hmm. whereas the Geekbench is only testing the CPU. And another site, Apple Insider, pointed out that yes, Premiere is able to tax the machine, but there are possibilities for accommodating that with a faster ramp up of the fans. So there's different kinds of benchmarks performed under different conditions with different OSs, and so you really have to have a big picture. And this lesson keeps getting taught to us over and over again, that we need to digest the scope of the machine and all its variations and the different kinds of benchmarks and the CPU and the GPU and whether they've been optimized for the threading or for OpenCL. And so I kind of put that all together on Friday in Particle Debris. And one showcase article that I thought really told a great story, the overall story, was Johnny Evans at Computer World kind of put together an overview of the situation. Mm-hmm. And so I pointed to that, and then I went into some of these other things that Primate Labs testing that Johnny didn't get to. And then I finished with, you know, the Apple engineers do a lot of product testing because they've been shipping MacBooks for a long time. And so it's kind of arrogant and stupid to presume that Apple would ship a machine that has defects so serious that, you know, you'd have to put it in the freezer, or that it's a failed machine, or that it's somehow suspect, or somehow Apple screwed up the thermodynamics of the machine and the engineering and rushed a product to market. It's just all an emotional reaction. We think of ourselves as technical and sober people, but then we become like gushing water cooler rumor mongers when one of these articles comes out, and it's crazy the way it happens. But now we're in the research phase, and more articles are coming out from more and more people doing different kinds of testing. And what we're finding out is what we suspected all along. Any computer has limits. Thermal throttling has happened before, and it will continue to happen. No, the machine isn't defective. No, you don't have to put it in the freezer. Yes, you have to be aware of how you're pushing the machine's limits and what kind of apps you're using and whether they're optimized for the structure of the computer and the threading. So calm down, everyone.
Well, and we're also seeing reports now from people that are saying their tests are showing that if you use apps that are what I'll call good Mac citizens, meaning they were coded so that they're taking advantage of what you can actually do to improve performance based on Mac OS and the hardware that's there, that you're getting markedly better performance on the Core i9 MacBook Pro than you are on the other models.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, well, you should, because if it's well-threaded, then the 6 cores is going to be better than the 4. Mm-hmm. You have to really work on my understanding of threading is that, you know, the user interface is a single thread, and you have to be very interested and aggressive in figuring out how your app can exercise multiple cores. And in many cases, it can't. And there's just certain kinds of scientific apps that can, multiprocessing apps and other kinds of apps that will. But not every application is structured and designed to solve its problem in such a way that multiple cores are helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So one has to be aware of that.
Right. So my guess is that even though the whole throttle thing, or John, as you're calling it, Freezergate, is something that people should be aware of, and they should be aware of this when they're looking at other computers using the i9 processors, you know, from HP, Lenovo, Alienware, Razer, Dell. Whoever. Yeah, Dell. They need to be looking at these and understand that processors are throttling because of heat issues, and that's not something new. So I guess the big thing is, regardless of what's happening with the processor and speed throttling, you need to look at the overall performance of the computer. Just numbers from processor benchmarks are not telling the whole story. So I can't wait to see what additional information we get over the next few days as even more people are getting in on this and performing more realistic yet still very scientific tests.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. We're out of time. We need to wrap up. John, thanks for being here today.
My pleasure.
And Andrew, thank you for being here as well.
Mm-hmm. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have both of you here. I'm also so happy that LinkedIn Jobs and Jamf Now are our sponsors today. So head over to linkedin.com/TDO, get $50 off your first job post, and also go over to jamf.com/TDO, and sign up for your free account so that you can manage up to 3 iPhones, Macs, iPads. And wow, it's what great offers. And listeners, I am so glad that you are here. And also, I'm hoping that you're going to come hang out with me this Saturday, July 28th at WordCamp Denver. I'm talking about podcasting, and a lot of other amazing people have really cool presentations lined up. So come see me there. Thanks everyone for joining us. We'll see you again tomorrow.